Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the Ever-Merciful, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-ameen. And may He raise the rank of and grant peace to His trustworthy Prophet, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and likewise that of his companions and family members in entirety. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, then by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we have gathered here in the house of Allah at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in the city of Pittsburgh on this eve of the 25th day of Shawwal in the year 1436. We've gathered insha'Allah ta'ala to study the tafsir of Surah Al-Hadid from the words of the explanation of the great scholar of Al-Islam, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala rahmatan wasi'ah, may Allah ta'ala have expansive mercy upon him. And we have reached the 18th verse, the middle of the 18th verse, I believe. We're on page 401 from the printed tafsir, from the printed version of the tafsir, which is a transcription of his lectures. And we are halfway down the page, of page 401 of that tafsir, which begins with Surah Al-Hujurat and goes all the way to the end of Surah Al-Hadid. Now, so the Shaykh says, وَلَمَّا ذَكَرَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَهْلَ الْإِيمَانِ وَثَوَابَهُمْ. Once Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has mentioned the people of Iman, the people of faith, and their reward, ذَكَرَ أَصْحَابَ الشِّمَانِ, then He mentions the people of the left, meaning the people, the disbelievers. بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, after that, قَالْ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and those who disbelieved and belied or rejected our signs, our verses, our ayat. This is after Allah Ta'ala had mentioned the people who believed, and He said in closing that discussion, لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, and they have their reward with their Lord. Then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and as for those, or and those who disbelieved, وَكَذَّبُوا, and they rejected, they belied, بِآيَاتِنَا, in our verses, or our ayat, لِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ مَثَانِ, and this is because the Qur'an is مَثَانِ, it brings things in pairs. تَثَنَّ فِيهِ الْأُمُورِ, أو تُثَنَّ فِيهِ الْأُمُورِ وَالْمَعَانِ. So issues and meanings are mentioned in pairs in the Qur'an. وَلِهَذَا تَجِدُ الْقُرْآنَ الْكَرِيمَ فِي الْغَالِبِ, and thus you find the noble Qur'an mostly, إِذَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ ذَكَرَ النَّارِ, when Allah mentions paradise, He mentions the hellfire. وَإِذَا ذَكَرَ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ ذَكَرَ أَعْدَاءَ اللَّهِ, and if He mentions the pious, close allies of Allah, then He mentions as well the enemies of Allah. وَالْحِكْمَةُ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ, and the reason for that, or the wisdom behind that, أَنْ لَا يَمَلَّ الْإِنسَانِ, so that a person doesn't get bored with the topics, so that a person doesn't become bored. وَأَنَّهُ كُلَّمَا تَنَقَّلَ الْمَعْنَى إِلَى مَعْنًى آخَرٍ, because every time the meaning changes from one meaning to another meaning, or one topic to another topic, you could say, نَشِطَ الْإِنسَانِ, the person becomes more active, he renews his attention span. وَحِكْمَةٌ أُخْرَى, and another wisdom behind that, أَنْ يَكُونَ الْإِنسَانُ سَائِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ, that a person can be someone who is in movement towards Allah, and he migrating towards Allah, or moving towards Allah. أي متعبداً إلى الله بين الخوف والرجاء, that he is engaged in worship of Allah, drawing near to Allah, right, out of fear and out of hope, between fear and hope, going from hope sometimes and fear sometimes. لأنه إذا مرت به صفات المؤمنين, and that is because if some passage comes that has mentioned in it of the attributes of the believers, قَوِيَ جَانِبُ الرَّجَاءِ, then the side of hope becomes stronger. The believers, their reward, and so on, then a person feels hope in attaining that status and getting that reward. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَتْ أَحْوَالُ الْكَافِرِينَ, غَلَبَ جَانِبُ الْخَوْفِ. And then when the disbelievers and their situations are mentioned, then what becomes stronger? A person's fear of Allah, that he not be from those people and taste that recompense for his actions. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. And those who have disbelieved and belied or rejected our verses. عَطَفَ التَّكْذِيبَ عَلَى الْكُفَرِ. Allah has mentioned the takdeeb, belying or rejecting after disbelief, right? وَهُوَ نَوْعٌ مِّنْهُ. And rejecting is a kind of disbelief. So Allah says those who disbelieved and rejected, while they would already be included in the generality of those who have disbelieved. What's the point? لِأَنَّهُ أَشَدْ. Because the second one is more severe. The one who rejects and belies and disbelieves or considers the text to be lying. That's the meaning of كَذَّبَ. If you look at it closely. كَذَّبَ, to tell a lie. كَذَّبَ is to consider someone else lying. So when we say the مُكَذِّبُون, المُكَذِّبُون, they are the ones who consider the Messenger of Allah to be a liar. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Or Allah Himself, or the revelation, they consider it to be a lie. So it's more than just disbelieving. A disbeliever can be lighter than that, as the Shaykh will explain here. فَالَذِي يَكْفُرُ وَلَمْ يُكَذِّبْ أَهْوَنُ مِنَ الَّذِي يَكْفُرُ وَيُكَذِّبْ. So the one who disbelieves, but he doesn't consider the message to be a lie, he's easier, his case is lighter, than the one who disbelieves and he considers the message itself to be a lie. فَعَطَفَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا عَلَى كَفَرُ. So he mentioned rejecting or belying our signs, adding it on to the description of those who've already disbelieved. مِنْ بَابِ عَطْفِ الْخَاصِ عَلَى الْعَامِ. From the angle of mentioning something specific from the generality of something general that's already been mentioned. To mention a general thing that includes many different types, and then to specify one of them and mention it separately afterwards. The Shaykh will give you an example of where that has come in the Qur'an, so you understand it. كَعَطْفِ الرُّوحِ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Like when Allah mentions the Malaika, and then He adds, وَالرُّوحِ, and the Ruh. The Ruh is the Spirit, and He is Jibreel, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. وَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. And He is from the generality of the angels. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High has said, تَنَزَّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا. In the night of Al-Qadr, the angels come down, and as well, the Ruh, Jibreel, the Spirit. The name, the nickname Ar-Ruh is for Jibreel. So Allah mentioned Jibreel separately after the generality of the angels while He is one of the angels. Why did Allah mention Ar-Ruh here? وَالرُّوحُ جِبْرِيلُ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The Ruh is Jibreel, He's one of the angels. The scholars say it gives that thing special attention. So if it is a praiseworthy thing, then He is more praiseworthy than the generality of those. Jibreel being the most noble of the ranks of the angels. And if it is something negative, then it is more severe in crime. So the generality of disbelief includes many things. From the worst of the kinds of disbelief is a takdeeb. That you consider the revelation, that you consider Rabbul Alameen, or you consider His messengers to be liars. That is a very severe form of kufr, of disbelief. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. Such are the companions, the ashab, of the fire. Al-Jahim is from the names of the fire. Al-Jahimu ismun min asma'in nar. Jahim is one of the names of the fire. وَأَصْحَابُهَا, and the companions of it, of Jahim, يعني المُنَازِمِينَ لَهَا. Those who dwell in it constantly. Those who remain with it constantly. A sahaba, why are they called sahaba? Constant companionship with the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from that is a sahib. A sahib is someone who stays with you all the time, a friend. Right? So ashab, the plural of sahib, the companions who have continual companionship with the fire, meaning those who stay in it. وَلِهَذَا إِذَا مَرَّتْ آيَةٌ فِيهَا أَصْحَابٌ. So if you see an ayah that has mention of ashab, the companions of something. فالمعنى أنهم ملازمون لها مخلدون فيها. That they are the constant, in constant companionship, and they remain with it forever. Right? نسأل الله العافية. We ask Allah for safety. وفي هذه الآيات الترغيب. And in these verses there is an encouragement. بالأوصاف التي توصل إلى الجنات. For you to take on the characteristics or the traits that will lead to paradise. لأن الله تعالى, because Allah the Most High لم يذكر لنا هذه الأمور, Allah did not mention to us these matters لنطلع عليها فقط, just for us to read about them and become aware of them only. ولكن لنسعى لها. However, He has informed us of them so that we could work towards them. And we could try to attain them. وفيها التحذير من الكفر والتكذيب. And in these verses there is a warning against disbelief and rejecting or considering the message to be a lie. لِأَلَّا يَقَعَ الْإِنسَانُ فِي هَذَا الْعِقَابِ الْأَلِيمِ. And so if he is warned against disbelieving and rejecting, then he will not fall into this terrible or this painful punishment. لما ذكر الله أحوال المؤمنين وأحوال الكافرين. And once Allah has mentioned the situation of the believers and then the situation of the disbelievers, وهم في الدنيا, and they are in this life, كل يعمل على شاكلته. Each and every one of them, he does the deeds of his type of person. بينا, once that is the case, بينا حقيقة الدنيا ما هي. And Allah Ta'ala clarified the reality of the dunya, the worldly life, what it is in reality. وَأَمَرَنَا أَنَّعْلَمَ مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّ يَجْتَهِدَ الْإِنسَانُ فِي التَأَمُّلِ وَالتَّفَكُّرِ. And then He ordered us to have knowledge of something in order for a man to work hard towards thinking and reflecting. فَالْأَمْرُ بِالْعِلْمِ. When Allah orders you to have knowledge of something, فَالْأَمْرُ بِالْعِلْمِ بِشَيْءٍ وَاقِعٍ, something that has taken place or something that is real. يعني أن المطلوب, what that means is what is being requested, أن تتأمل كثيراً, that you reflect much. When you are ordered to have knowledge of something, then the point is you are to reflect about that matter much. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكَ الْأَمْرُ, until that matter becomes clear to you. اعملوا, as Allah said, اعملوا أنما الحياة الدنيا. Have knowledge, or know, or be aware of, or under this tafsir, contemplate much about this fact, that what? The حياة الدنيا, the life of this world, وهي حياتنا هذه, it is this life that we are living. لاعب, it is play. ولهو, it is idle speech. وزينة, it is decoration. وتفاخر بينكم, and it is mutual braggery amongst you. وتكاثر في الأموال, and it is competition in finances, or competition to have more wealth than the other. خمسة أشياء, Allah Ta'ala has said, these things, there are five things that the dunya is. He summarized the dunya in five things. The first one, اللاعب, playing. It's just play. بالجوارح, that is with the limbs. Just playing about with your limbs. بأن يعمل الإنسان أعمالا تصده عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة. That a person does certain actions that prevent him from the remembrance of Allah and that prevent him from the salah. وأما له, now the second one, له, false speech or idle speech, بالقلوب, فهو الغفلة. It is found in the heart. The idle speech that is found in the heart, and that is غفلة, heedlessness. The heedlessness found in one's heart. وَهَذَا أَشَدُّ وَأَعْظَمُ, and that is more severe and more a larger thing to worry about. وَغَفْلَةُ الْقَلْبِ, and the heedlessness of a person's heart. أَعَادَنَا اللَّهُ مِنْهَا وَأَحْيَا قُلُوبَنَا. We ask Allah that He gives us protection from it and that He brings our hearts to life.
Ameen. Al-ghafla awimatun. It is a, you know, that heedlessness in this regard is a very, very serious thing. Tufqiduka jami'a dhati ta'ah. It will cause you to lose out on every type of great feeling that is associated with obedience. You lose out on every enjoyment that there is behind the acts of obedience. وَتُحْرَمُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ آثَارِهَا. And you will be prevented, deprived from all of the great benefits of obedience. لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And this is due to the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. And do not obey the one whom we have made his heart heedless. We have made his heart full of ghafla, heedlessness. عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا, away from our remembrance. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ, and he has followed after his desires. That's from Surah Al-Kahf, the 28th verse. لَمْ يَقُولْ. Notice how Allah did not say here, لَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَسْكَتْنَا لِسَانَهُ. Do not obey the one that we have silenced his tongue. بَلْ قَالْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ. Do not obey the one whose heart we have caused to become heedless. وَمَا أَكْثَرَ ذِكْرُنَا بِاللِّسَانِ مَعَ غَفْلَةِ الْجِنَانِ. And how much is our remembrance on the tongue along with our heedlessness in our body parts. وَهَذَا لَا شَكَّ. وَهَذَا لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ يَنْقُسُ الثَّوَابِ. And this is something that no doubt causes our reward to lessen. وَيَنْقُسُ الْآثَارُ الْمُتَرَتِّبَةُ عَلَى الذِّكْرِ. And it lessens or takes away from the good effects that are associated or that are found in the remembrance. مِنْ صَلَاحِ الْقَلْبِ. The example of the heart being correct, the heart being upright or in a good condition. What if tijahi ila Allah, and someone being set upon moving towards Allah Ta'ala. Wal inabati ilayhi, and being remorseful and repentant towards Allah. Wa ghayri dhalik, and other matters. That's the second thing, right? The first thing was what? La'ib, play. The second thing, allahu, that it is heedlessness. And the Shaykh says specifically, the heedlessness of the heart is the most severe one. Now thirdly, wazina, and decoration. It's just mere decoration. Izinatun bil malabis, decorations of clothes. Wazinatun bil maraqib, decorations in cars, nice looking cars, or you could say vehicles, any kind of, any mode of transportation, any vehicle for transportation, even horses and things like that. وَزِينَةٌ بِالْمَسَاكِنِ, and it's also the decorations of a person's house where he stays. وَزِينَةٌ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and it's decorations found in every single thing. وَلِذَٰلِكَ تَجِدُ الْإِنسَانَ وَلَوْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا. This, and thus you find a person, even if he's a poor person. يُحِبُّ أَن يُزَيِّنَ بَيْتَهُ. He likes to decorate his house. Even if he's poor and he has very little, he still likes to decorate his house. Right? وَكَذَلِكَ سَيَّارَتَهُ عِنْدَ الزَّوَانِ. He likes to decorate his car at the time of marriage. This is an Arab custom. We don't do that, do we, over here? Yeah? You know they do over there in Saudi Arabia? They paint the car with glitter. And they wrap big bows around it and put flowers all over it. Right? And they even cloud the windows up with messages like Mubarak and Alf Mabruk and things like that. Congratulations and things like that. The front windshield is all white, fogged out, with a heart just on the driver's side. And that's supposed to be the car that he will pick up his new bride in and drive away with her at the night of the walima. Right? That's the custom over there. So the Shaykh is speaking about that custom specifically, that which we don't really know about over here, as this is an evening of a walima, and I don't think our brother dressed up any car with some kind of flowers or paint or anything like that. It's just not our custom. So it's important for us to know the Shaykh was talking about that specifically, right? So people like to dress things up. And so he says, إِذَا أَرَادَ الزَّوَاجِ. Look how a person, when he wants to get married, يَرْكَبُ سَيَّارَةً, he gets, you know, he rides a car. يَجَعَلُونَ عَلَيْهَا عُقُودًا مِنَ الْأَزْهَارِ وَغَيْرِهَا. من الزينة. He puts like streams of flowers all over the car and other forms of decoration. That's the third thing, is decoration. Everything about this life is decoration. Now, the fourth thing, وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ, and it is mutual braggery between you. Braggery over things. أي كل واحد يسخر على الثاني. Each person brags about something that he has over someone else. إِمَّا بِالْقَبِيلَ, whether it's because of his tribe, his nation, his nationality, right? The قبيلة specifically is your family, your tribe that you're connected with, right? أو بالعلم, some people brag about education, right? يَكُونُ هَذَا عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ بِالطِّبِ, this person, he's got a degree, he's got knowledge in medicine, right? وَهَذَا لَا يَعْرِفُ, another person doesn't know. So the one who knows is bragging over the one who doesn't know. وَهَذَا عِلْمُهُ بِالْهَنْدَسَةِ, and another person, he knows like architecture. وَهَذَا لَا يَعْرِفُ, and the one he's bragging over doesn't know it, right? فَيَفْخَرُ عَلَيْهِ, so he brags in over him. وَأَقْبَحُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, and what is even more ugly than all of that, التَفَاخُرُ بِالْعِلْمِ الشَّرْعِ, is the braggery that a person might do having Islamic knowledge. A person with Islamic knowledge bragging about what he knows over people who don't know. May Allah Ta'ala save us. لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ الشَّرْعِ, because Islamic knowledge, يَجْهِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا اكْتَسَبَهُ, it's binding on a person if he gains it. وَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and Allah had blessed him or gifted this to him, and يَزْدَادَ تَوَاضُعًا, that he be increased in his humility or in his humbleness. وَأَنْ يَعْرِفَ نَفْسَهُ, and that he should know himself, he should really know himself. وَقَدَرَ نَفْسِهِ, and he should know what the limits that he has. He should know himself and he should know his reality to the point where he knows his own limits. وَبِذَلِكَ مَا يَحْسُلُ بَيْنَ الشُّعَرَاءِ, another manifestation of that is what happens between poets. فِي بَعْضِ الْأَحْيَانِ, in some instances. مِنَ تَطَاوُلِ عَلَى الْآخَرِينَ, with their braggery or boasting about how they're better than others. And we don't have the same jahiliya poetry that the Shaykh is talking about, but we have one that has the same theme. We have jahiliya poetry in the West that has braggery of these people versus those people, and this group of people versus that group of people. We're better than you and all of that. That's found as a theme in our modern jahiliya poetry, meaning like in urban music. أيوه ومن التفاخر, and also their braggery over each other. كما يوجد في بعض الأفراح, and in some wedding parties, you'll find that. And this he's talking about again over there in that land. They'll have at wedding parties sometimes poets that might recite poetry, and it might be like a poetry battle type of thing. وبعض المناسبات, and in some kinds of ceremonies or gatherings. مما نسمع, and the Sheikh said عما نسمع, and he, based on the narrations that we have heard. Of course, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah is not going to poetry battles and things like that, but he's saying based on what I have heard. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ, and it is the mutual or the rivalry that exists in gaining more money and children as well, in outdoing someone by having more children than him. أي يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَكْثَرَ أَمْوَالًا, that a person likes that he has more money, وَأَكْثَرَ أَوْلَادًا, and that he has more children. وَهَذَا كَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and this is something similar to what is found in the statement of Allah, the Most High, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ, that it has been made beautiful, it has been made as a beautiful decoration for mankind, his love of his desires from the women and the children, that which he craves after of women and children as well, meaning his own offspring. والقناطير المقنطرة, and stacks of wealth. القناطير, gold and silver, as Allah Ta'ala says, من الذهب والفضة, of gold and silver, stacks upon stacks of gold and silver. والخيل المسومة, and horses. مسومة means here, as some of the scholars of tafsir said, معلمة بالسيماء, and he marked with lines, meaning the best kinds of horses to the Arabs were known with certain stripes and certain patterns in their coloration. Right? So these are the khayr musawwama. Wal an'ami wal harfi, and in cattle and in harvest. That is mutual rivalry and all of those things that has been made beautiful for people. Then Allah says, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Such are the provisions, or such are the things that occupy you, or the provisions of this worldly life. هَذِهِ حَقِيقَةُ الدُّنْيَا. That's the reality of this life. وَمَعَ هَذَا اللَّهْوِ وَاللَّعِبِ وَالتَّفَاخُرِ وَالزِّينَةِ لَا تَبْقَى. Along with all of this negligence, or this heedlessness, and this playing, and this braggery, and this decoration, with all of this, it doesn't remain. It's not something that remains. فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ تَزُورُ. So it is coming to an end. Absolutely. وَإِذَا طَالَ الزَّمَانُ عَادَ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَى الْحَرَمُ. And if a person's life went on for a long time, then he would even go back to being in a state of feeble old age. وَلِعَذَ بِاللَّهِ. Feeble old age. وَفِي هَذَا يَقُولَ الشَّاعِرُ. And along these lines, or along this meaning here, the poet said, لَا طِيبَ لِلْعَيْشِ مَا دَامَتْ مُنَغَصَةً لَذَّاتُهُ بِالدِّكَارِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْهَرَمُ. There's no goodness in life, since all it is disappointing pleasures, once you remember death and feeble old age. There's no pleasure in life, or no goodness in life, so long as it's just disappointing pleasures with the remembrance of death and feeble old age. Allahu Akbar. كل إنسان إذا فكر في عيشه. Every person, if he were to think about his life, وأنه في نعيم, and that he would think that he is, you know, living it up, having the best type of life, in delight. يقول ما بعد ذلك. He would say, what's after that? ما الذي بعده. If he had delight and he had everything he wanted, he would stop thinking about what's next. Huh? ما الذي بعده. إما موت. Think about what's next. Either موت, either death, أو هرم. أو هرم. Or feeble old age. One or the other. إما أن تموت وتنتهي من الدنيا. You're either going to die and be finished with this life. وإما أن تهرم. Or you're going to become very old in a feeble state. وتكون عالة على ابنك وبنتك. And you're going to be a burden that needs to be taken care of by your son or your daughter. Subhanallah. حتى أهلك يملونك. Even your family will become overburdened by you, and they'll be bored of taking care of you, or they'll lose their patience in taking care of you. وَلِهَذَا أَشَارَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْحَالَةِ. And this is why Allah had made a reference to this specific case, or this specific situation that a person ends up in. فقال, he said, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. Whether the case is that one of them reaches that very old age in your presence, أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا, or both of them, right? Your parents we're talking about here. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Then do not say to them, أُفْ. Do not say to them, أُفْ. And أُفْ in Arabic is the slightest verbal display of displeasure. So do not say uff to them. لِأَنَّهُمَا إِذَا بَلَغَا الْكِبَرَ. Because once they reach this, you know, great old age, اِخْتَلَّ تَفْكِيرُهُمَا. Their thought process is flawed. وَصَارَ يُتْعِبَانَ. And they become people who will tire you out easily. فَأَنْتَ إِمَّا أَنْ تَمُوتَ. So now back to you. You're either going to die. وَإِلَّا تَصِلَ إِلَىٰ حَالِ الْحَرَمِ. Or you're going to reach the state of feeble old age. هَذَا إِنْ بَقِيَتْ لَكَ الدُّنْيَا. That's if the dunya remains, meaning the hour isn't established in your lifetime. That's if the dunya remains for you to either die or get old. وَإِلَّا فَقَدْ تُسْلَبُ إِيَاهَا. Then you could be taken out of this life if the hour is established. قَبْلَ أَنْ تَصِلَ إِلَىٰ الْحَرَمِ. وَقَبْلَ أَنْ تَمُوتَ. And that could be before you reach old age, or before you die. فَنَأْخُذُ مِنْ هَذَا الْحَذَرَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدُّنْيَا. So we benefit from this, that we are to be warned from the trials of this worldly life. وَكَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ أَطْغَطْهُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. أَطْغَطْهُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فَهَلَكَ. How often is it that a person has been overtaken, overwhelmed by things in this worldly life, and then he's destroyed? Too much dunya burns a person out, right? Well, in Hadith al-Qudsi, the Shaykh here now references a Hadith Qudsi. What's a Hadith Qudsi? It's when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah has said something. So it's the speech of Allah, but it's not from the text of the Qur'an. And this Hadith Qudsi specifically is weak, it's not authentic. Right? It's been collected by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi in his Tariq. And notice how the Shaykh says, in the first Hadith he brings here, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ الْقُدْسِ. He says, in the Hadith. He doesn't say, صَحَّ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. It's authentically reported. He just says, فِي الْحَدِيثِ. It's in a Hadith. He doesn't grade it. He just mentions it. And we can call that what's called, with the ulama, صِغَةَ التَّمْرِيلِ. A way of reciting or passing on a Hadith where you indicate that it's not authentic with the word. You say either ruwiya or fil hadith. And so here the Shaykh says fil hadith al Qudsi, and he mentions a hadith which is not authentic. Then the second hadith he brings, he says bal qad qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moreover, the messenger has verily said, and he brings the hadith which is authentic after that. Right? And so he says qad qala. When you say qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is not sighat at-tamyiz, this is not narrating it in a way that indicates its weakness, rather it is narrating it in a way that endorses its authenticity. So the first hadith, he quotes, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ إِذَا أَغْنَيْتُهُ أَفْسَدَهُ الْغِنَى. That some of my servants are such that if I give them riches, the riches will destroy them, or the riches corrupt them. And the Shaykh is referring to, there's no footnote in my printed version. You have one? There's no reference in your printing either. Tayyib. The hadith, as mentioned, was collected by Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. Was studied by Shaykh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani in his Silsilatul Ahadith al-Da'ifa, number 1774. The wording is, Atani Jibril. Jibril came to me from the beginning of this narration. فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ. He said, O Muhammad, رَبُّكَ يَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامِ. Your Lord has sent salams to you. وَيَقُولُ, and he says, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يَصْلُحُ إِيمَانُهُ إِلَّا بِالْغِنَى. There are some of my servants that they won't have faith except along with financial prosperity or wealth. وَلَوْ أَفْقَرْتُهُ لَكَفَرُ. And if I were to make him poor, then he would disbelieve. وَإِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِي مَنْ لَا يَصْلُحُ إِيمَانُهُ إِلَّا بِالْفَقَرُ. And there are some of my servants that are, their iman, their faith would not be correct except with poverty. وَلَوْ أَغْنَيْتُهُ لَكَفَرُ. And if I were to make him rich, then he would disbelieve. While this is not authentic from the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, relaying it from his Lord Azza wa Jal, you can see some wisdom in mentioning the wording, the benefit in the wording, even if it's not authentic, that is an actual case. You find that there are some Muslims that are poor, and when they get money, it destroys them. Right? And there are some people that are rich, and they're used to being rich, and they're used to having things all the way they like them all the time, and if they are tested with poverty, they fail. They disbelieve. Right? So these are the weaker of the servants, the weaker of Allah's servants, that their faith is connected to their provisions and being in a certain status. As for the true believer, then what? He worships Allah. In times of poverty, in times of wealth and affluence, he worships Allah Ta'ala. Either it's a time for patience, or it's a time for gratitude. Either way, with the believer, he says, this is my position with my Lord. He's given me something, I'm grateful. He hasn't given me something, I'm patient, and so on. This is the case of the believer. Now, so the Shaykh mentioned that wealth is a trial for some people. And it's not hidden from anyone that some people are destroyed by wealth. And you've seen, I'm sure, some person being destroyed by wealth. Many people who are connected to these celebrities, they have a family member who became a celebrity, either a sports hero or a movie star or something. What do they say? They say, he used to be a nice person. He used to be cool. He used to be all right. Then the money blew his head up and destroyed him and all of that, right? There are lots of people who tell you, I have a cousin, I have a family member that got rich. And he used to take care of his family, he used to be nice to his neighbors, he left our city, never came back to us at all. So there are some people like that. Their character is destroyed Their integrity is destroyed by some wealth. Then the Shaykh says, بَلْ قَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And verily the Prophet, or moreover, the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank, وَعَلَىٰ أَلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ, and that of his family, and grant them all peace, he verily has said, وَاللَّهِ مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَىٰ عَلَيْكُمْ. I swear by Allah, it's not poverty that I fear for you. And this is an authentic hadith collected by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. With the wording is a bit different, but it's along the same meaning here. وَإِنَّمَا أَخْشَىٰ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تُفْتَحَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيْكُمْ. And what I fear for you, what I truly fear for you, the only thing I fear for you, is that the dunya would be opened up wide for you. That this dunya would be opened wide up for you. فَتَنَافَسُ فِيهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسَ فِيهَا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And that you would compete over what's in it like the people before you competed over what's in it. فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. And it would destroy you like it destroyed them. وَصَدَقَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, spoke truthfully. فَأَكْثَرُ الْفَسَقَ. Most of the people who are disobedient. وَأَكْثَرُ الْكَفَرَ. And most of the disbelievers. مِنَ الْمَلَئِ وَالْأَشْرَافِ. They're from the noble people. They're from the affluent. They're from the rich and the uppermost people. وَأَقْرَأُهُمْ. وَأَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. Not وَأَقْرَأُهُمْ. وَأَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. Read the Qur'an. مَنْ يُكَذِّبَ الرَّسُولُ. Who is it that is belying the messengers? Who is it that rejects the messengers? هُمَ الْمَلَأُ وَالْأَشْرَافِ. They are the greater of the people, the more noble, the higher up, the higher, what do you call them? The upper class. وَاَعْتَبِرُوا بِالْوَاقِعِ الْآنِ. And think about, and take a lesson from the reality now. أَكْثَرُ مَنْ يُفْسِدُ الدُّنْيَا هُمَ الْأَثْرِيَاءُ وَالْأَغْنِيَا. Most of the people that cause corruption on earth, they are the upper class, the rich people. أَلَّذِينَ فُتِحَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الدُّنْيَا. Those who've had the dunya opened up for them. فَلْيَحْذَرْهَا الْعَاقِلُ اللَّبِيدُ. And a person who's smart and rational, or a person who's smart and intellectual, let him be warned about that. وَلْيَقْتَصِرْ مِنْهَا عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And let him suffice himself with what helps him for his hereafter. ثُمَّ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ لَهَا مَثَلًا. Then Allah struck an example, or gave us an example, or a parable. For what? For the life of this world. لِأَنَّ الْأَمْثَالَ تُقَرِّبُ الْمَعَانِ. Because parables, they make meanings come closer to you. They make it easy to understand a difficult topic. Right? That's the point of a parable. Is to make something that's conceptual or difficult or complex to be understood in light of something that's simple. So here Allah Ta'ala gives us a parable. إِذْ إِنَّ الْمَثَلَ يَعْنِي قِيَاسًا مَعْنَى عَلَى الْمَحْسُوسِ. Because in a parable, there is the meaning of comparing something theoretical to something that you can sense and something that you can detect with your senses. كَمَثَلِ غَيْفٍ. It's like the rain, al-matar, the rain. تَنْبُطُ بِهِ الْأَرْضِ وَتَزُولُ بِهِ الشِّدَّةِ. That produces vegetation on earth and takes away the difficult times, meaning the droughts and the times of difficulty because of no rain. كَمَثَلِ غَيْفٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ. That causes the disbelievers to be astonished or amazed by the plants. أي النبات الناشئ عنه. The plants that come as a result of this rain. وَأَعْجَبَهُمْ أَيْ اِسْتَحْسَنُوهُ. And it amazes them, meaning they look at it as a great thing. They are delighted in the vegetation that comes forth after the rain. And we'll pause here to listen to the adhan, insha'Allah ta'ala. The Shaykh says, وَالْكُفَّارُ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And the meaning of the word kufar here is the disbelievers in Allah Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestic. لِأَنَّ الْكَافِرَ تُعْجِبُهُ الدُّنْيَا. Because the disbeliever, he is amazed by and astonished by the dunya, this worldly life. وَيَفْرَحُ بِهَا. And he rejoices in it. وَيُصَرُّ بِهَا. And he is made happy by it. وَقَلْبُهُ مُتَعَلِّقٌ بِهَا. And his heart is connected fully to it. لَيْسَ لَهُ هَمٌ إِلَّا مَا يَرَاهُ مِنْ زِينَتِهَا. He has no interest except in what's connected to its adornments. وَلَهْوِهَا. and it's idle or it's neglect. فَهُوَ قَدْ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ بِاللَّهِ. So the plants have astonished or amazed the disbelievers in Allah. وَخَصَّ الْكُفَّارَ لِأَنَّ الْكُفَّارَ هُمَ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحْسِنُونَ الدُّنْيَا. And Allah mentioned that the plants bring delight to the kuffar specifically because the disbelievers, they are the ones who are so happy about this worldly life. وَيَعْجَبُونَ بِهَا. And so delighted or so amazed by it. وَتَتَعَلَّقُ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِهَا. And their hearts are so connected to it. أَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. As for the believers, فَهُمْ عَلَى الْعَكَسِ. They are the exact opposite. لَا يَهُمُّهُمْ إِلَّا مَا فِيهِ مَصْلَحَةُ الْآخِرَةِ. Then what concerns them is only what has a benefit for them in the hereafter. وَقِيل. And another thing has been said about the meaning of this verse. إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِالْكُفَّارِ هُنَا الزُّرَّاعِ. The meaning of the word kuffar here is farmers. زُرَّاعِ. These are farmers. The Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ هَذَا لَيْسَ بِصَحِيحٍ. However, this is not correct. لِأَنَّ إِطْلَاقَ الْكُفَّارِ عَلَى الزُّرَّاعِ نَادِرٌ جِدًا. Because to use the word kuffar for farmers, even though linguistically it has its angle, is something that is very rare, meaning in the Arabic language. هذا إنصح. This is if it's even authentic that has been said that it's the meaning. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْمُرَادَ بِهِمْ الزُّرَّاعِ. Those who have said that the intended meaning of the kuffar here is the farmers, يقولون, they say, لِأَنَّ الزُّرَّاعِ or لِأَنَّ الزَّارِعَ يَكْفُرُ الْحَبِ. Because the زَارِعَ, the farmer, he covers up the seed. He takes the seed and puts it in the ground and then covers it up. Right? That's the action of kufr. Kufr is to cover something up. طيب. أي يستره في الأرض. He hides it and conceals it in the ground. ولكن ما قررناه أولا هو الصواب. However, what we mentioned first, that is what is correct. أن المراد بالكفار هم الكفار بالله. The intended meaning behind the word kuffar is the disbelievers in Allah. يعجب الكفار نباته. That the vegetation from the rain is something that amazes the disbelievers. ثم بعدما يظهر ويعجب الكفار. Then after the rain or the vegetation appears and amazes and delights the disbelievers. ويستحسنونه. And that they take it as something beautiful. ويتعجبون منه. And they're astonished by it. يهيج. يهيج. أي ييبس. It becomes dries up. وَيَجِفُّ. And it becomes cracked or dry and cracked. فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا. Then you see it, that it is yellow. It is yellowed. بَعْدَ أَنْ كَانَ أَخْضَرَ. After it was green. نَامِيًا. And lively green. يَكُونُ مُصْفَرًّا دَائِمًا. Then it becomes yellow or yellowed in a way that is perpetual. It becomes forever yellowed. Meaning it doesn't go back to becoming green again, that specific plant or that specific leaf. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. And then it becomes حُطَام, something trampled upon, straw. Then after it becomes yellow, it becomes like straw that you step on. يعني يَتَحَطَّمُ وَيَتَكَسَّرُ. It becomes stepped upon and broken. لِأَنَّهُ يَبِسَ. Because it has dried up. فَمَاذَا كَانَتَ النَّتِيجَةُ لِهَذَا الزَّرَعُ. So then what is the end result of all of this vegetation? In parentheses, that the kuffar are so astonished by? التلف. It is what? That it is destroyed and it's nothing left of it. وَالزَّوَى. And it's gone. هَذِهِ حَالُ الدُّنْيَا. This is the case, this is the condition of this worldly life. تَزْهُ لِلْإِنسَانِ بِنَعِيمِهَا. It appears to be beautiful to man with its delights, وَقُصُورِهَا, and its palaces, وَبَرَاكِبِهَا, and its vehicles, وَأَمْوَالِهَا, and its wealth, وَأَوْلَادِهَا, and its children. The Shaykh said here, وَأَزْوَاجِهَا, and its spouses, and that's not mentioned in the transcription here, وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ, and other things. وَإِذَا بِهَا تَتَحَطَّمْ. All of this, then it just becomes something that is like straw. كَمْ مِنْ غَنِيٍّ كَانَ مَسْرُورًا. How many times has a rich person been happy فِي أَهْلِهِ, about his family. مُنَعَمًا فِي بَيْتِهِ. enjoying the delight of his house, وَفِي مَرْكُوبِهِ وَفِي ثِيَابِهِ, and in his vehicle, in his clothing, وَفِي كُلِّ أَحْوَالِهِ, and in all of his situations, وَإِذَا بِهِ يَعُودُ فَقِيرًا, and then he goes, and he loses his wealth, and he becomes a poor person. فَتَتَحَطَّمَ دُنْيَاهُ, then it's like all of his dunya turned into straw. Like all of his riches and all of his wealth just turned into something that people step on. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ مَعَتَ وَتَحَطَّمَتْ دُنْيَاهُ, and if it's not the case, then if it's not the case that it became straw and done away with, then he would die. And his dunya anyway would still become something stepped on, like straw. بِفِرَاقِ هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا, with him departing from this life. فَلَابُدَّ مِنْ أَحَدِ أَمْرَيْنِ, so then it's a must that one of two things happen. Either, فَإِمَّا أَن تُفَارِقَكَ الدُّنْيَا, you're either going to depart from this dunya, وَإِمَّا أَن تُفَارِقُهَا, either the dunya is going to part from you, the possessions are going to leave you and you become poor, or you're going to leave the dunya and you'll leave those possessions behind. One of you is leaving the other. وَإِمَّا وَهَذِهِ حَالَ الدُّنْيَا, and this is the case of the dunya, the worldly life. وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ لَا يَشُكُّ فِيهِ فِي الْوَاقِعِ, and this is something that is no doubt about it in reality. لَكِنَّ النُّفُوسِ مَعَهَا غَفْلَةً, however, it is the case that people in their souls, they have heedlessness. يَسْهُ بِهَا الْإِنسَانِ, they forget because of this heedlessness. عَنْ مِثْلِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ الْوَاقِعِ, they forget about this clear happening, this clear evident thing that's going to happen. فَيُظُنُّ أَنَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَلَى مَا يُرَامِ, and he thinks, or he assumes, that every single thing is in its place, and it's great, and it's okay. وَيَسْتَبْعِدُ زَوَالَ الدُّنْيَا, and he thinks that the loss of the dunya is something very far away from him. أَوْ زَوَالُهُ هُوَ عَنِ الدُّنْيَا, or him dying and leaving the world, something far away. أَمَّا الْآخِرَةَ فَاسْتَمِعْ إِلَيْهَا,
then as it relates to the hereafter, then listen to the verses of Allah. Listen to the description of the hereafter. قَالَ, Allah has said, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, and in the hereafter, there is a severe torment. The Shaykh says, لِلْكَافِرِينَ, for the disbelievers. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ, and there is forgiveness from Allah and pleasure. لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the Shaykh explains, for the believers. فَأَيُّمَا أَحَقُّ أَن يُؤْثِرَ الْإِنسَانِ, so which of these matters are more deserving that a person give his preference and attention to over the other? الدُّنْيَا, is it the worldly life? الَّتِي مَآلُهَا الْفَنَاءُ وَالزَّوَالُ, is it the worldly life that ends up being destroyed and going away? أَوَ الْآخِرَةُ, or is it the hereafter? يُؤْثِرُ الْآخِرَةَ هَذَا الْعَقَلُ, for a person to give preference to the hereafter, that is intelligence. لِأَنَّكَ إِنْ آثَرْتَ الدُّنْيَا, that's because if you were to give preference to this worldly life, فَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, then in the hereafter there is a painful torment. وَإِنْ آثَرْتَ الْآخِرَةَ فَفِيهَا مَغْفِرَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ, and if you were to prefer the hereafter, then in the hereafter there is forgiveness from Allah and His pleasure. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ, the Shaykh explains, forgiveness, لِلدُّنُوبِ, for one's sins, وَرِضْوَانٌ, and pleasure, بِالْحَسَنَاتِ, that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with a person's good deeds. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, then Allah negates that the dunya is anything, saying that this worldly life is nothing. إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, except provisions that delude one and distract him. Subhanallah. هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةُ فِيهَا حَصَرٌ طَرِيقَةُ النَّفِي وَالْإِثْبَاتِ, this phrase or this sentence, it has a restriction using the rhetorical function of negating something and then affirming some of its generality. وَهُوَ أَعْلَى طُرُقِ الْحَصَرِ, and this is the most eloquent of types of restriction. Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, and the provisions or the worldly life is nothing but provisions that delude one and distract him. يَغْتَرُّ بِهَا الْإِنسَانِ. A person becomes deluded by them. فَيَلْهُ. So he is distracted into negligence. وَيَلْعَبُ. And he plays about. وَيَفْرَحُ. And he rejoices. وَيَبْطُرُ. And he behaves with arrogance. ثُمَّ تَزُول. Then this worldly life goes away. كُلُّ هَذِهِ الْجُمَلْ وَهَذِهِ الْأَوْصَافِ. All of these sentences, all of these descriptions. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمْ أَنْ يَزْهَدَ الْإِنسَانِ. Allah wants, and He is the mighty and majestic and the most knowledgeable, meaning about what He intends, He wants that mankind have some zuhud, have some abstinence, have some indifference to things in the dunya, فِي الدُّنْيَا. وَيُرَغِبُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And Allah wishes to turn His focus or turn His, you know, His desires towards the hereafter. Allah wishes for people to be motivated for the hereafter. وَمَنْ زَهِدَ بِالدُّنْيَا وَرَغِبَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And for a person to be indifferent to worldly matters and to be inclined towards and ambitious for the hereafter, لَمْ يَفُتْهُ شَيْءٌ مِنْ نَعِيمِ الدُّنْيَا. And nothing of the delight of this world would pass him by. حَتَّى وَإِنِ افْتَقَرْ. Even if he became impoverished, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَفُوتُهُ نَعِيمُ الدُّنْيَا. Even in that case, the delights of this world would not pass him by. He would not miss them. وَالدَّلِيلُ هَذَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. And the evidence for this is from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. قال الله عز وجل, Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has said, and this is in Surah An-Nahl, the 97th verse, من عمل صالحا, whoever does good righteous deeds, من ذكر أو أنثى, of males or females, whoever does righteous deeds, male or female, وهو مؤمن, whilst being a believer, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Then we will bring him to life, surely, with a life that is good. لَمْ يَقُلْ لَنُكْفِرَنَّ مَالَهُ. Allah didn't say that He would give him plenty of wealth. وَأَوْلَادَهُ وَقُصُورَهُ. And lots of children and lots of palaces. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We shall surely bring him to life with a life that is tayyiba, good and wholesome. Mutma'inna, something that a person can relax and enjoy. Mustariha al-bali fiha, that he could relax stress-free within it. Wala najziyannahum ajrahum بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And we shall verily recompense them with the very best of what they used to do. We shall give them a good recompense, a good reward, based on the best of the deeds that they used to do. That's a beautiful ayah from Surah An-Nahl. Then the Shaykh says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وَبَيَّنَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَلِكَ. And the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and that of his family and grant them all peace, he clarified that when he said, فِي قَوْلِهِ عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the affair of the believer. إِنْ أَمَرَهُ أَوْ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. His affair, all of it is good. وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And that's for no one other than a real believer. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ. If a hardship befalls him, فَصَبَرٌ. Then he's patient. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And that would be better for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ. And when a good thing happens to him, شَكَرٌ. He's grateful. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And that is something better for him. And that hadith was collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And I'd like to add here a hadith which also reveals another side of the world of the unseen as it relates to provisions
and people's focus and priority. Think about the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was collected by Al-Imam Ibn Majah in his Sunan, that he said, alayhi salatu wassalamu man kanat ad-dunya hammahu, whoever has the dunya, has worldly gain as his goal, فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَهُ, then Allah will split up his affair. Allah will scatter his affair upon him. وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ, and he will bring poverty, or make his poverty right in front of his eyes, meaning right in front of him. He will bring poverty to him. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, and nothing of the dunya will come to him. إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ, except what had already been written for him. Now listen to the other side of the issue. وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ نِيَّتَهُ, and whoever has the hereafter as his niyya, as his intention, as his goal, جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ, then Allah will bring his affairs all together. وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ, and he will make his richness or his affluence something that is found in his heart, meaning he will be rich at heart. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا, and the dunya will come to him, وَهِيَ رَاغِمَا, while it is being dragged or forced to him. Subhanallah. And this hadith has been declared as authentic by Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani in his book Silsilatul Ahadith Al-Sahihah, hadith number 950, so you can review it there if you wish. As mentioned, is found in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, rahimahullah ta'ala. This is what Allah ta'ala has made easy for us in this gathering. We ask Allah ta'ala to be gracious with us, to forgive us, to overlook our transgressions, to guide us to the best statements and actions that He loves and is pleased with. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.